Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, hosted by Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Tim, here with my friend Amanda, and today we're highlighting yet another one of the top economic developers in North America. Amanda, tell us about this conversation.
So I had the honor of speaking with Michael Hecht this week. He is the president and chief executive officer of Greater New Orleans, Inc., and that organization was recently named the number two economic development organization in the United States by Business Facilities Magazine. The work that Michael has done is absolutely impressive. He led a $250 million Katrina small business recovery program for the state of Louisiana. He has served as the inaugural director of business development for the Food Bank of New York City, the largest in the country. He's been recognized as one of the top 25 most powerful people in the 10-12 corridor, a New Orleans Innovator of the Year, and I could go on and on. Michael is the real deal and has awesome things for our listeners to hear.
All right, let's take a listen.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us today on North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. Congratulations on being named to this list by your peers, and welcome to the podcast.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm honored and humbled to be here and be part of this list. It's great.
Well,
thank you.
Well, we're excited to be speaking with you today. So let's get started and just let the listeners know a little bit more about you. What is one thing that everyone should know about Michael?
You know, there are probably many things, Amanda, in the context of this discussion. I think it might be that I got my start in economic development perhaps when I was 3 or 4 years old. And I used to build cities out of Legos and Lincoln Logs and Erector sets on the floor in my room. And it was really my favorite childhood activity, building up these complex cities with schools and parks and downtowns and all my Matchbox cars. And I think one of the reasons why I enjoy my job so much today is that I'm probably to some degree fulfilling and staying true to that childhood impulse.
I love that take on it. I don't think anybody's ever said that they started their economic development career at the age of 3 with Legos, but that's such a unique perspective on it. I know that you've had a really interesting career. You've done lots of different things. Can you take us a little bit on your journey of where you are today and kind of how you got there? What were some of the steps along the way that really made a significant impact in your career?
Well, I'm really fortunate to have this job today in economic development post-Katrina New Orleans because it might be the only job that would actually make sense of the peripatetic path that I found getting here. As an undergrad, I majored in race relations. It was economics, sociology, and African-American studies because it was just what I was interested in that time in the early 90s. I was then going to go to a master's thesis comparing race in London versus New York, but didn't get funded, so I became a management consultant and ended up working around the world for large companies like IBM and Coca-Cola doing value-based analysis. From there, I went to business school out at Stanford. My thought then is that I wanted to become an entrepreneur. I kind of wanted to do something that was very visceral and personal as opposed to being a management consultant, which was somewhat abstracted. Kind of went to the extreme there and ended up building and running restaurants in the San Francisco area around the dot-com boom of the late 90s, early 2000s. Learned a lot more building and running restaurants than I did in business school the years before. From there, then I ended up back on the East Coast, and I worked for a couple of years in the Food Bank for New York City, the largest food bank in the country, setting up their corporate partnership division, and then was drafted by the Bloomberg administration to run their small business program post 9/11. That actually ended up being my bridge back to Louisiana, as after Katrina hit, folks from Louisiana came to New York City, wanted to understand how we had implemented programs using federal CDBG funds to support business. And as part of that conversation, it was asked, would I ever consider coming back to Louisiana and New Orleans? And I said, yes, it's where my mother and her family is from, and my wife, who's Danish, had always wanted to live in New Orleans. And so in its odd way, Katrina was the work opportunity. I came back here for 2 years, ran the statewide post-Katrina small business recovery program, and then I've been here at GNO Inc. for now about the past 6.5 years. So certainly not a path that I planned, But in terms of a job that combines my interest in planning and city organizations, my background as a business person and entrepreneur, and my impulse to have impact in the world, there probably couldn't be a better job than the one I have today. I feel very, very lucky.
Yeah, that's obviously a very impressive listing of things that you've been a part of. I mean, everything from, like you said, the small business program after 9/11 to Hurricane Katrina relief efforts. I mean, those are huge events in our nation's history that you were on the ground for, which is really impressive. Based on some of those past experiences, what is maybe a lesson that you've learned or a lesson in leadership that you've experienced that you think could translate to everyone else listening today?
Relative to Katrina, certainly one lesson in leadership, and particularly in today's media environment where there's so much information and so many conflicting opinions, that if you can establish yourself as having some degree of objectivity and a good grounding and fact base to go forward, if you then provide direction, people tend to be willing to follow. We certainly saw this with national flood insurance, where by becoming the thought leaders on explaining flood insurance to the rest of the country, we were able to develop a coalition of about 250 organizations across 35 states and ultimately drive national legislation, despite the fact that we were a small, relatively powerless organization. So another lesson, which has served very well in post-Katrina New Orleans, I learned probably when I was in the restaurant business, which is that even more than having their problem or issue solved, people want to be acknowledged. So even if you don't have the right answer how you're going to fix a situation, it's most important that you acknowledge an individual, listen to their challenge, and then decide what you can do next. And we've done a lot of listening in Greater New Orleans over the past 6 or 7 years, and I think it's helped build a lot of relationships and trust.
Yeah, so objectivity, collaboration, and active listening, those are all great lessons that I think everybody listening today can apply to the work that they're doing. I know that your organization, Greater New Orleans, Inc., was recently named number 2 on the Economic Development Organizations in the United States by Business Facilities Magazine. So that's a pretty impressive award or recognition. What are some of the ways that you guys define success in your organization and for yourself personally as a leader to kind of achieve a recognition like that?
Well, that's actually a great question. We have 3 parts of our mantra, I would say, which we focus on every day, and that is relationships, relevance, and results. That is, we focus on building relationships based on trust, and there's 2 types of trust: trust of ability and trust of intent. And you got to have both. You've got to be able to do the job well and have the good intentions in order to build trust. And in terms of relevance, everything that we do, we ask ourselves, is it making somebody's business or life better? And if it's not making their business or life better, then we probably shouldn't be doing it. And finally, results means that at the end of the day, there has to be some work product which might not have happened if not but for your organization. And so we're very proud of what we've accomplished, whether it's in business development and bringing companies here or passing legislation like writing the digital media incentive for Louisiana that represents real material results. So that mantra of relationship, relevance, and results has really served us well over the past 6 or 7 years with GNO Inc.
Absolutely. And so you've talked a little bit about how you define success and some of the successes you've had. What about the other side of that coin? What are those things that keep you up at night in terms of your organization and your community?
In terms of the organization, what keeps me up at night is resource allocation. We have a finite amount of time, money, and people, and an almost infinite number of projects that we could be engaged in. So I'm making smart decisions about where we focus our resources is really what I stress about, because I know that every project that we decide to focus on is going to require full focus, and there's going to be a lot of opportunity cost inherent in that because there are going to be other opportunities or initiatives or challenges that we are not taking up as a result. So resource allocation, as dry as it sounds, is really what I worry about the most. As a community, we've made incredible strides here in Greater New Orleans, in the economy, in quality of life issues like crime and education. But at the same time, I think these gains are very fragile. We haven't yet hit that point of critical mass where we're just going to continue necessarily under our own momentum. So I worry about us maintaining the progress in economic development, maintaining it in education reform, maintaining it in criminal justice. We have to keep up this progress for probably another 5 years plus through the 300th anniversary of New Orleans in order for us to be at what I would call a new stable plateau.
So what are some of the things that you want to just brag about in terms of your community? This is your chance to sort of show off what you guys have got down south. What are those things that make New Orleans unique?
From a pure pitch standpoint, New Orleans offers the best combination of low cost and high culture of anywhere in America right now. We've been judged by KPMG to be the lowest cost mid-sized market in America. And at the same time, we have a culture that is world-renowned, and we've just been voted America's favorite city by Travel and Leisure. So that combination of low-cost, high culture is, I think, our unique selling proposition. But what I'm most proud about this community and really this organization, I would say, is that there's a degree of resilience, a degree to take a challenge and pivot into a positive that has really characterized this place post-Katrina, and that I think right now we do as well as anywhere in the world. So whether it's using Katrina as the opportunity to begin to address our fading coast or our challenged school system or our issues in criminal justice, we now have gone as a community from being a victim of disaster like Katrina to being a master of disaster. But right now we're becoming the Dutch of North America and are selling our water management services across the world.
Excellent. Okay, this is the last question for today, so I'll get you out of here on this. As you look to the future, what do you feel is the most important thing for communities and economic developers to focus on?
I believe that as a community leader looking to create jobs and wealth into the future, the most important thing that you can do is consider what are the systemic elements that can be put in place to encourage broad growth. That could be intelligent tax policy. That could be intelligent and aggressive incentives. But most fundamentally, I really think it comes down to education. I don't think there's been a community that has succeeded over time that hasn't had excellent public education at the elementary, secondary, and tertiary level. Places that have good public education all the way up to the universities tend to do very well over time. And so that probably is the most fundamental element of long-term economic development success that there is.
Awesome. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. Your insights have been great, and we want to congratulate you one more time on being named by your peers as one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Amanda, thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to you and everybody else, and we really appreciate everything that you guys do for economic development.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.